Title is a little bit changed from the original title. That was a slight adjustment. So Ragged Leader's Pomonella is a true fruit fly native that used to feed on the hawthorn plant. In the middle 1800s, when apples were introduced into North America, a new population was observed to actually have rose from apples. Soon after that, they became a major pest of the crop. Through the many years, has been work studying both of these hawthorn and apple maggots. And right now, some people are in agreement that they're two distinct host races, displaying different phenologies due to the fruit they're tied with, and very specific host fidelity for each of those. You may also recall the apple maggot is the classic example for animal sympatric speciation, at least in North America. However, our interest with the apple maggot was not speciation at all, but rather his physiology. Pupae, once the larvae feed in the apple and fall to the ground and prepariate, can take three distinct developmental pathways. They will do a direct development, in which in 30 days they emerge as adults, a short diapause, which is last about 50 to 100 days, and a deep, call-dependent 11 or so months diapause, which is timed with the emergence of the fruiting of apples in August. The first two direct development and shallow diapause, we don't really understand too much, as they are a univoltine species. So those developmental pathways do not seem to make a lot of sense. So we really wanted to study heat-shock proteins. We refer to those as HSPs from now on. Heat-shock proteins are ubiquitous molecular chaperones found throughout anything that is pretty much alive. They have been tied before to pupal diapauses, so we wanted to see whether pupal diapauses are pupal diapauses express HSPs, as they usually tried with stress, normally found in heat, hence the name, but they have been studied and found in all sorts of stresses, anoxia, cold, UV radiation. So we also wanted to see whether the larvae, which feed in the apples during the month of August, if they express HSPs as apples, as if you've ever been in an orchard during the month of August, apples get really, really hot. We took insects both from the field and a lab colony and reared them under long day conditions at both 28 and 35 degrees Celsius. This was done to get that direct development 30-day pupae. We took diapause in pupae to create diapause in conditions. We made short day temperatures, short day light cycle, and 18 degrees Celsius. Those diapause in pupae were sampled at 30, 60, 90, and 120 days post-prepariation. We also took adult flies and heat shocked them at 38 for an hour, as we wanted to see if Ragged Leader's actually had a normal heat shock response that we see in other insects. For our field observations, we took maggot-infested apples, and we placed them in the field. We used Red Delicious apples, and we placed them in Red Delicious trees in the field the night before. As you can see in the picture, there's actually temperature probes inside of the apple. There's two of them, and there's one outside hanging in the surface, sort of the air temperature probe. We also put probes in the apples that were actually connected to the trees at the time. We sampled these at 7 and 9:30 in the morning, 1:30 and 5:30 in the afternoon, and 11 at night. What we consisted of sampling here was slicing the apple open, verifying that they're actively feeding third instar larvae. All sample periods were actually marked with the presence of at least 15 actively feeding third instar larvae. We took those and all the previous described pupae, and we homogenized them using TRISO to extract RNA. We're really interested here in the gene expression. So we performed RT-PCR and PCR in order to identify HSP70 and 90, as well as a control gene, 28S ribosomal protein. We then performed northern blood hybridizations to verify for gene expression, using a kit from Roche. We stripped the membranes with the RNA and reprobed with the control gene in order to verify equal loading of RNA. We perform all northern bloods in triplicates. For larval life and heat shock in the lab, this is what we found. At 28 Celsius, you know, there was no expression of HSP70 whatsoever. You know, however, HSP90 was strongly upregulated in the same treatment. At 35, larvae that were reared for a month at 35 degrees centigrade have a very mild, barely noticeable upregulation of 70. So even though this seems like a harsh treatment, you know, 30 days at 35 centigrade, it is not for this maggot. HSP90 is somewhat upregulated at 35 degrees, not as much as it was at 28. Both adults both Hitchcock species are expressing the adult in response to Hitchcock, so they do have this classic Hitchcock response. For that purpose, it's an interesting story which I really like. For HSV 70, you see a strong upregulation in the onset of diapause. That actually is still upregulated throughout 60 and 90 days, not as strong. And then 120 days, boom, you get this sort of big shock upregulation, which is very interesting to us. This is the death of winter. So I think it might correlate with some sort of cold tolerance as it's seen in the pupil diapause of the fleshlight, for example. At this point, only the deep phase diapulses will be present, so those shallow diapulses are not there anymore, since clear that there's a stronger upregulation in the ones that are going to be in diapulse for 11 months. For HSV 90, it seems to be continuously expressed. There's no further upregulation, it's sort of the same throughout. Now, switch gears here is to go into the field. First thing that we notice is the temperature. We had no real idea how this was going to play out, let alone that I was going to get pretty grass like this. There's a fair amount of time that is spent in the afternoon above 35 degrees centigrade in the field. So the temperature that we showed for the lab earlier has actually been quite ecologically relevant. As you see in the second day, actually the temperatures exceeded 40 and were close to 45. That day, the apples spent an hour and a half at 45 degrees centigrade after being cooked by the sun. Some of these apples were not even in direct sunlight. They were actually shaded by the leaves, but they still warmed up that much. At night, the temperatures went down to 16 Celsius. This was done in the month of August, as you see at the bottom of the graph. So this is the expression for HSV 90 under those conditions. Excited to say that the HSV 70 expression kind of follows that graph. There's none at 7 in the morning, as there should not be, because it's below 20 Celsius. As the day gets warmer, you see a small progression in upregulation at 9:30 and 1:30. And at 5:30, you get this really big upregulation, which sort of matches the heat shock we saw in the adults. Here it's been 3 or 4 hours above 35, at least 2 hours above 40 degrees Celsius. So, you know, these apples have been cooking, these maggots have been really hot. But when we opened the apples, they were actively feeding. It didn't seem like they slowed them down at all. 90 follows a similar expression, although it is present. So it seems that 90, every time we looked at the maggot, any stage, 90 was actually expressed, always throughout its life. It's a low expression at first, it goes up, has the big 5:30 boost after the few hours of heat. Then it goes down at night to a lower level. So overall, both HSV species are upregulated during larval development in response to heat. Both are expressed in the adult. They had the classic heat shock response. You put them in heat shock for an hour, they upregulate both proteins. Both are also upregulated in diapause, but 70 remains responsive even 100 days out, whereas 90 is consistently expressed. We did find that apple maggots commonly experience temperatures above 40 Celsius in the summer, in August, in Ohio, for hours, sometimes 2.5 hours. And we did find that they actually express HSVs while actively feeding inside of the apple. With that, I would like to thank all the people that were in one way or another involved, getting me the insects, getting me permission to use trees in the field, and of course, my advisor. I'd like to thank you all, and I'll take any questions. Just as there seems to be a drop, let's go back to right here.
Yeah.
She asks if we saw an increase in the 28 precursor as we see this drop here. No, we didn't really look there. And I chose this particular northern blood because it's the one that was didn't have as much dark banding around it. But the other ones, this drop is not consistent throughout the triplicates. You know. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Another question.
Yes. What was the air temperature outside of the apple when you're doing this?
He asked what was the air temperature outside of the apple during this. It was usually 3 or 4 degrees higher than that. So when the apple peaked about 46, the air temperature was close to 50 that day.
Ooh,
Yes. So, but the air temperature didn't follow the same pattern. It's much, you know, the pattern is much, goes up and down, more cyclic than the actual apple. The apple remained warm. For example, at about 8 o'clock at night, the apple is still in the high 30s, but now the air temperature is back in close to 29. So the air temperature changed quite a bit, but the apple remained hot for a lot longer time. So we were surprised as well.